This is Mike Hartrath with this week's Shoot the Moon podcast, broadcasting live and direct from Revenue Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As a reminder, Revenue Rocket is the premier growth strategy and M&A advisory firm for IT services firms worldwide. And I'm thrilled to be here today with my partners, Matt Lockhart and Ryan Barnett. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Happy day. I think we got a good topic today, too.
Yeah, Ryan, today we're going to talk about, what to do when you have multiple offers. Or maybe you can clarify for me a little bit there, Ryan, how to optimize with multiple offers if you're selling your firm.
So if you're working with an advisor and we've done our job right on the outreach and we've done a great job of bringing people to the table, hopefully we're going to actually have multiple offers to consider at the same time. It's a bit of magic, a little bit of work, a bit of luck, and a bit of grind. But eventually, if we can kind of correlate and get things together, we're going to give you multiple choices to pick from. No, it doesn't always happen. You know, when we look at deals, we're looking at a strategic fit first, we're looking at cultural fit second, and then the financials work. And sometimes we have a really special deal where the strategic and cultural fit fits, and it's the first person we talk to, and that deal gets done. But other cases, if we're looking at competing offers, it may take a little bit more. So I'm just going to start, Mike, and just if you could help us out to understand what is the process to bring a seller to market and kind of what's it look like from timelines and how do we start to form the base of kind of the big portions of the process, kind of readiness, outreach, LOIs and such?
Yeah, great question, Ryan. So, you know, as we bring a firm to market, certainly we start with a readiness review and evaluation. And, you know, that's an important phase. You need to kind of know what your firm is worth and, you know, have a third party assessment of who are really ready to be sold. And so, you know, I think any credible advisor is going to do that. They're going to weigh in with their experience and through using a, you know, rigorous methodology to value your business, as well as give you advice and counsel on kind of where you are in the process of being ready to sell. But assuming that you're ready and you kind of agree with what we call the market-based price for your business, then it's about packaging and marketing. In essence, creating a teaser and a SIM, confidential information memorandum, determining who you're going to do outreach to talk about a potential sale. We're very much in favor of pretty surgical outreach, to people that would make sense. Because as we've said before, all deals have to line up strategically, culturally, and financially. And so a good place to start certainly is with firms that would have a good strategic fit or be a good strategic buyer of your business. And then we qualify and vet for cultural fit and financial fit once we get interest or interest by those firms as we're working through a pipeline process. But assuming we get to that point and we're down to a short list of buyers, and they're evaluating the business, and now it's time for them to come back and issue an LOI, or at least have a discussion about deal structure, price, and deal structure. It's important to be able to handle that phase of the negotiation properly. Now, I will tell you that certain firms will create what's called an auction for your business. And I think in professional services business, IT services businesses, auctions don't work real well. Auctions focus predominantly on the financial considerations for the transaction. They don't really further vet the strategy and cultural fit needed to have a successful transaction. So if you run an auction, it's fine to run an auction for, let's say, a manufacturing company or a quick serve restaurant or a gas station, because those businesses are much more focused on what we'll call plant and equipment and lower skilled labor. I think when you're talking about a business that is all about people and much higher skilled labor, that auctions don't work very well. So assuming that you're not going to do an auction, The key is the advisor, if they're managing your project properly, will be in a position to bring a variety of interested buyers to the table at about the same time to issue letters of intent in the range that makes sense for your enterprise value, and then be able to kind of work the ends against the middle in an effort to optimize a negotiation with the best buyer.
So let me loop in Matt on this part. I think the auction and what you're saying about an auction makes sense. But Matt, can you tell me the difference in perhaps what we've seen in running more of a structured process compared to a strategic process?
Well, by structured process, I think what you're getting at is you're not doing an auction that says, okay, this thing is available for, you know, this opportunity is available for 7 days or 10 days and get your bids in and, you know, and then we're going to, you know, play it off of each other and et cetera, et cetera. As Mike talked about, oftentimes that's really not viable for a higher valued firm because in these higher valued firms, that strategic fit and cultural fit really, really have an impact on the accretive value that can be brought through an acquisition. In a structured process, though, you are giving some guidance around timelines to a group of parties that have that strategic fit and have demonstrated interest so that you're not, you know, just letting things lag on. You're providing guidance that says, okay, in this time frame, we're going to be generating interest. After interest is generated by multiple parties, then in this time frame, we're going to be validating that interest and determining that cultural fit, which is so very important, and aligning and verifying the strategic interest. And then in this next time frame, we are going to be, you know, looking for offers to be brought forward because, to Mike's point, that financial fit is obviously a key component. And so it allows for some structure for both the buyers and the sellers to be knowing what the timelines are and the work that needs to be done, you know, within those timelines.
Yeah, I think one thing to note here is that the farther along in the deal process you get, the more those timelines come. So, again, we're looking for how many people can we get at the table at the same time. And the reason why this becomes really tricky is when an LOI, a letter of intent, is issued from a buyer and they have done adequate enough due diligence to support that LOI, there's something in there called a lockout. Mike, can you just walk through what a lockout is and why it matters?
Right. So a letter of intent, most buyers, not all, but most buyers in a letter of intent are going to require you to not look or accept other offers while you're under letter of intent. One of the few binding provisions in a letter of intent. And the reason that is that buyer, along with you as a seller, is going to begin to encourage, begin to experience or, you know, have part of your process where the meter starts running with lawyers and other accountants and other professional services advisors to you, because you're trying to get through, the negotiation along with an advisor like ourselves. And you need to get advice on tax advice from an accountant, and you need to get some, based on the deal structure, and you need to work with your lawyer, most importantly, to fortify a legally binding agreement in support of the sale. So almost all buyers will say, okay, we don't want to incur that expense if you're going to sell to somebody else, right? Like you can't have three processes going on with three different buyers all at the same time, kind of getting through the final due diligence process as well as the development of the definitive agreement. So It's just that the meter starts running for all kinds of other services on both sides that are needed in support of getting the deal done. And it's fair and makes sense that you'll just have exclusive negotiations with one buyer at a time at that point. And so that's the reason for a lockout provision and a letter of intent. Essentially locked you up as a seller to only be working on that one transaction.
Right. That helps explain a lot. And it really kind of sets up why I'm asking this is that when we're looking for the process, and let's say we get multiple firms that have met the team, they've got books in hand, they put their financial teams to work. Just what's the importance of getting that first offer? And Matt, maybe you can dig into this a little bit of kind of how is the stage set once a offer comes in, whether verbal or written, and how does that matter?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, obviously it sets the bar in terms of enterprise value. It furthers the discussion around term structure. And when I say term structure, is it an all cash deal? Is it, you know, cash equity rollover? You know, are there earnout components? And those things are obviously very important. You know, while sellers have their intentions in mind, you know, sometimes their intentions need to be fleshed out a bit in terms of what the reality of the market of buyers can do. So by setting that enterprise value and furthering the discussion around applicable term structure, it allows us as the advisor to give, you know, additional guidance to other interested parties, as well as, you know, obviously putting some gas on the fire, if you will, in terms of urgency for other buyers to be brought forward. Now, you know, it can be a bit delicate, and this is our job, and we do it every day, to manage expectations across the board. You know, managing the expectations of the sellers in terms of, you know, what they need to be ready for, managing the expectations of that initial firm that's providing that first LOI in terms of, you know, where we're at in the process. And then obviously for other potential buyers, managing those expectations. And, you know, while I say it can be a bit tricky, it's not that hard, to be honest, right? You know, if you're communicating clearly and transparently that there's multiple interested parties, that our sellers, and we need to do right by our sellers for them to be, you know, furthering the analysis of those particular buyers for those three fits, you know, some time is always available.
I think it is a crucial time, and I think Mike maybe can help me understand. You know, what is an advisor's role when that first offer comes in? They're working with that current offer, and tell me what happens with outreach, what happens with the deal, what goes once that first, what should sellers expect once they get that first offer?
Well, I think, you know, it's our opinion that we continue to do outreach until we get to a signed letter of intent. So we continue to do that, just how we do it, how we manage it. But typically when we're getting to the letter of intent stage, we'll have, you know, 1 to 3, 1 to 5 interested parties all sort of circling and getting close on, you know, or putting forth their offers. And so I think the focus on getting to a transaction LOI that's optimized for price and terms at this stage is important. You know, it's the old adage, right? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Pretty critical for you to work with your advisor to begin to narrow down
you know, what are the best buyers from a strategic, cultural, and financial fit? Not to get mired into just looking at the financial fit at that point, because there'll be nuances between the merits of any of those transactions. And I think you're going to want to think long and hard about that. There may also be different expectations of you as the owner post-transaction, and you're going to want to think about that too, based on the buyers and how it fits with your plan and strategy. But then ultimately get to a transaction or an LOI that makes sense and get it signed. I think it's easy to fall in a trap where you're going to continue looking for something that might not exist at this phase. The market weighs in, as we often say, you know, the actual value of a firm, although we're, I think, very good at doing valuations and getting close to market-based price and the early phases of readiness on an engagement, is when you have a willing buyer and a willing seller come together on price and terms. That's when the actual value of your business is set. And I think when you have interested parties at this phase, it's contingent upon you to be decisive in your decision-making, trust your advisor to help you optimize the offer, and move into signing the LOI and moving to due diligence.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, sorry, Ryan. I was just going to jump in as Mike was talking. I thought it was, you know, one thing to be sort of wary of, right, is advisors who, you know, once one offer is in, they start pushing, right? Because, you know, then they're really not doing their job and being on the side of the seller to assess, you know, what is going to be the very best opportunity to move forward on. So I was just thinking that, you know, because oftentimes you may see that. Okay, hey, an offer's in, boom, we got to go. And that's really not in the best interest of the transaction and of the selling firm.
Yeah, I think it is important. I think you nailed it, Matt. You don't have to take the first offer that's issued. And especially if it is far off from the valuation expectations that you have, then you can reject or counter those offers. And that's part of this process, is just understand that sellers, you do have an opportunity to, there is a lot of back and forth. There's going to be back and forth on the enterprise value, on the deal structure, on the teams, on who's staying, who's going. That's all going to go, and all of that is a non-binding LOI that really won't be resolved until the final papers are signed. So it's important to know that. On the flip side, buyers, if you're listening to this discussion, you should really think about the importance of putting your best offer forth quickly. If you can get to the table quickly and it is something a seller is willing to accept, that's going to be a favorable thing for the transaction. And you do have the chance. The best thing why you want to get to a signed LOI really is that lockout. So they've got to the terms. You're able to dig in farther. You're able to validate your theory and really start to execute on the transaction.
I would add, Ryan, on advice to buyers on this point is that many buyers like to have a particular approach they take pre-LOI, and they oftentimes confuse diligence, post-LOI diligence, with pre-LOI investigation. And I think if you go too deep early before a letter of intent, you run the risk as a buyer of missing out on a good opportunity. You know, certainly we've seen that. We call it kind of analysis paralysis. There's all kinds of analysis done, and beyond wanting to see data that might be in a data room by an advisor, you know, a sell side advisor, they want to see other things that aren't there. They want to analyze stuff that they certainly will have time to analyze in due diligence that frankly just doesn't matter in calculating the value, the enterprise value of that business. Buyers need to focus on what's required to calculate and validate enterprise value and then make their offer if they're serious.
because taking too much time and looking at things that aren't material to determining enterprise value before LOI means they run the risk of not getting that deal at all. And someone who can react much more quickly will be the victor in that situation.
Matt, any parting thoughts?
Well, I guess, you know, the only parting thoughts that I would have is that this LOI stage you've got to adequately, you know, put time aside, because there is going to be a lot of back and forth, right? And there's a need for, you know, continual sort of conversation in assessing the opportunities, in negotiating the deal, in setting the boundaries, and potentially having further discussions with parties who have issued LOIs to, you know, clarify terms, to clarify understanding, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we often say to our sellers, the most important thing that they can do through the process is to continue to manage the business and drive the business forward. And that rings true for sure, right? But the reality is at this stage, there is time that is needed and time that needs to be set aside. So, you know, I guess that'd be the last parting thought. You know, pick a good advisor and, because they're going to help, you know, save you a lot of time and a lot of heartache, particularly at this stage, and, you know, obviously optimize the deal and find, you know, the right firm that you want to partner with long-term.
Great advice. Mike, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Ryan. And with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week in M&A conversation for IT services. We hope that you guys can join us next week. We're going to be talking about other similar topics that are relevant to IT services firms as it relates to growth strategy and implementing your M&A strategies. So with that, take care and make it a great week.